Hey everybody, okay, this is the lesson on book descriptions. Now, a little confession, initially we had kind of glazed over this because we weren't thinking about it. There were so many other things to talk about, ads, writing the books, finding the proper categories, getting in front of the right readers. But then Tim brought up, hey man, I don't know how to do this at all. Like maybe we should take some time with this because when people write a book and then they try to go back to the description, it's really scary. So, like, Tim, set the scene for that. What is it that kind of scares you about a book description, and how can we kind of address that in these next few minutes?
Yeah, Todd, when I've done book descriptions in the past, it really scares me. So when I first tried to upload something on Amazon, I saw this huge like chunk of white space where I'm supposed to put a description, and I suddenly panicked. I'm like, I don't know how to write a book description. So what do? You start looking at other people's book descriptions, and I ended up just dazed and confused because I'm like, they're all so different. Does this really matter? And then I thought about it and went, well, when I buy a book, I read the book description because I want to make sure that it's a book about something that I want to invest, 3 or 4 hours of my life on. And so I just got to this panic and this overwhelm stage, and I still haven't really recovered. I personally still don't know how to write a good book description. And what I'm looking for is like, show me best case scenarios and give me some kind of template or methodology that I can follow. So, Todd, this one's for me, for sure.
Perfect, perfect. I love it. Well, the good news is, we've got all that coming up. I want to show some examples of what works and what doesn't, as well as kind of a four-step method to writing a really solid book description. I think the scary part is just like you have 20,000 words, and now you're trying to condense that whole book down to 100 words or something like that. And so we'll address all of that in here. And first things first, why would you ever put a book on Amazon if it sounds boring to read? I like to say that ads bring the customers, but the description is what brings you the sales. And whenever I'm writing a book description, the temptation is to gloss over it, right? Just like with the categories, just like with the metadata, you feel like you've done this huge effort by making the book, and now you just want to get it out for sale and move on to the next thing or whatever. But the truth is, your description is like a little tiny salesman that's going around 24/7 trying to sell this book for you. And if it falls short, it's going to be a problem. Your conversion rates on ads will be lower, so you have to spend more to make less. Your random people who follow you may see the book and go, ah, that doesn't sound like it's for me. So what we want to do is really nail this book description. And no matter your genre, as far as the nonfiction world, we're going to give you some good tips on that. First things first, where does your description show up on Amazon? So you'll see this just to the right of your book. Now, Amazon, of course, doing the Amazon thing and putting all of its own interests over here. So, hey, look, read this on Kindle. Hey, okay, here's all this other stuff. And then the hook is here, or the description starts here. Your entire goal with the description is to get people to click this read more button. Now, we don't have the data on that. Amazon doesn't give it to us as far as who does the clicking, but once they're clicking that, now it's they're interested. It's like a great copywriter once said, the whole goal of copy is to get people from the first line to the second line. The goal of book descriptions on Amazon is to get them to read those first three and click the read more. I'm actually thinking of LinkedIn now, Tim, because it's a very similar strategy. You've got those three lines, and then you click read more. So you have to power pack that top half. Now, before we get into the description, I want to talk about a big mistake that many people make around generating their book description, because we've never been taught how to generate a book description. So the logical person thinks to herself, okay, how can I write a good book description? And usually the answer that comes to mind is, ah, I know, I'll just find a really successful book and I'll copy that book description. Genius, right? Except for usually popular books have a pretty terrible description. Now, I'm looking at this book, Deep Work by Cal Newport. Great book, horrible description. And if you think about why why that might be the case, it's often because people like Cal are using a traditional publisher. Traditional publishers think of the online world last. So what this is, and usually the books, you know, with a bunch of money behind them that can push themselves forward, if you see, I don't know, Ryan Holiday or Cal Newport or Malcolm Gladwell, someone like that may not necessarily have to write a great book description to sell books. So what do? They copy the text on the back jacket and they just put it in the description. And you're seeing right here, right, Tim? Like, this is not scannable. It's not readable. And what I think is the biggest sin of all book descriptions is it doesn't ask you or compel you to buy. Certainly it tells you what's in the book, but it's not copy. And I like to say that a book's jacket, whatever's on the physical book, is about the author and the story of the book. But a book's description, especially in Amazon, is about getting people to buy. And if it's getting people to buy, what we're talking about here is copywriting 101. We're not going to do a masterclass on copywriting for the book description, but we are going to talk about what exactly it is that drives people to want to buy the book in the first place. One of the core principles of copywriting is just pain and solution. Do you feel my pain, and can you solve it? Every ad, every book description, every piece of copy that's worked, especially in the modern era, is just, can you see my pain? And can you solve it? What does that look like in a book description? Well, let's take a look. This is an author that I like a lot. I've studied his work in preparation for my whole career at the Amazon ad agency and selling my own book called Mastering Amazon Descriptions. Now, this is a dynamite beginning to a description. It's your deepest fear, the book doesn't sell. Could it be that your description sucks? See how he's ending on a question mark there? We'll get into that a little bit in a minute.
Todd, yeah, that is mind blown.
How you like that?
What he's done, he's just begging you to click that read more button. And Todd, what we learned just in the LinkedIn course is that read more button is actually factored into the recommendations. So Amazon will push books that get people that click that read more. So it's really crucial, but... Oh, I'm sorry. I just need a minute just to compose myself. Wow.
Yeah, and this Brian does this for a living, so hopefully he's pretty good at it. And I got to say, he really nailed it there. Tim, you bring up a good point, which is that just because Amazon doesn't share this data with us doesn't mean it doesn't use the data. So like you said, recommendations, the algorithm, all of that stuff is really fueled by every piece of data they can get. You gotta think that this read more button is part of that. Now, as good as this beginning to the description is, and as good as the identification of the pain point is, it actually gets even better than that. Check out this very next line in the rest of the description. Could it be your description sucks? Yes, it does suck, and this book is going to help. Unbelievable. Unbelievable next line to that. So not only is he saying, okay, I identify with your pain. I know you're scared of this. And as a matter of fact, I'll go a step further and say that if you're drawn into this, your description probably sucks. And hey, guess what? My book is going to help, right? A few credentials here. And then he gets into some of the data. A typical description might convert XYZ into a new reader. Hey, I've done all this research and shown that better descriptions get the job done in 10 clicks. So he's getting into a little bit of the weeds here. And he says, would you rather pay for 10 or 30 clicks to get a conversion? Again, going straight at the reader with a great question. And he says, you know, what else is in this book? And he finishes up with, you'll adore this book because it's going to make you love writing descriptions and copywriting, a thing that many writers hate. And then he ends up with, get it now. Now, what I want to do is break this very well-written book description apart and talk about how we can use it for our own good. Because really, I like to break every book description down into four steps. So I've given this example as a really good one, and I'm going to throw in some other examples of each part of the steps so that we can see how it works in different books. The first step to any great description is to rub the pain point. If you don't know what your pain point is that your book is solving, it's time to go back to the outline. It's time to go back to your content. It's time to figure out, okay, who is this book for and what is the purpose of it? So if my book is to help creative people get motivated, that's the pain is somewhere in there. It's in, do you feel like an urge to be creative, but you just can't muster the motivation you need to get started every day? That's the pain point. Let's look at this example here by Chris Fox, another writing book one. So he started a bold statement, but then he jumps right into, have you written a book that just isn't selling? Would you like to write a book that readers eagerly devour? So immediately, have you written a book that isn't selling? Rub that pain point, and then starting to deliver on the next point. This is actually a continuation of the pain because I can visualize myself on that next point, but I'm not there yet. I've written a book that isn't selling, and I would like to have one that readers eagerly devour. How does Brian rub the pain, right? He flat out says, it's your deepest fear, the book doesn't sell. If I'm looking at this book, probably I have a book that isn't selling, and so I feel that very deeply. It's about identifying the pain point and then putting it right at the very front of the description to get started. Number two is show how your book can help. And in this case, I've pulled a description from one of my clients named David. He's written a very good book called How to Become the Neighborhood Millionaire. And part of his niche, part of his angle, we had to work on this because the finance books are, there's a ton of them, right? We had to figure out what his unique angle was. And it's the neighborhood millionaire. This idea that you don't have to be rich, I just want to be comfortable. We're feeding into that solution. And so he's saying, the best part is that anyone can become a neighborhood millionaire. You don't have to kill yourself to save pennies. You don't need a crazy high income. You don't need to track stocks on CNBC every day. What do you need? Here's what you need. You need the basic principles covered in this book. Learn from a self-taught entrepreneur how to turn your financial mess into a success. So again, that's one way to shed light on how the book can help you. Brian does this up here, right? Because he's saying, this book is going to help. So he straight up says it, how the book is going to relieve the pain. It's going to help. And then he says, the typical description might do this. The good descriptions do that. And then he shows, hey, I've got 40 descriptions across lots of genres, and you're going to find everything you need to understand and train yourself to write proper copy. So that's step two. We first rub the pain point. What's the problem that I'm trying to solve? And then we show how the book can help, usually in broad terms like this at first. But then we're going to move into adding very specific details. So think about that. First, you're rubbing the pain. Then you're showing how the book can help. Now, the reader needs to know that you really know what you're talking about and you're not just throwing out vague terms. So what does that look like? Well, in Brian's, it looks like this. He's got the data up here and he's talking about conversions. He's going into a little bit of the jargon about writing properly Amazon descriptions, so I know what he's talking about. And then he says this. With 40 descriptions across lots of genres, blah, blah, blah. And then check this out. Three bullets. Powerful hooks, engaging copy, visually appealing formatting. The bullets are important here because it helps the reader understand that this book is real and that it's offering these specific things. Brian's done a great job here, and there's just, you know, two words, three words. What I like to do with my clients is also add a little bit of a tag onto these bullet points. So I'll say something like, how I went from hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt to a multi-million dollar business thanks to online courses. And this is a client of mine named Danny. And he's listed here what section of the book this piece of information lands in, where it is. Who is really buying XYZ? Part one. What goes into a world-class course? Part five. The four different ways that online courses can fit your business model? Part two, right? So we're putting some skin on this solution. And not only that, we're telling you where in the book that information resides. Now, Tim, I'm curious if you've seen anything like this, but it's a little trick that copywriters like to do. Maybe they're doing a video on a certain thing and they'll say, oh, this is at timestamp 20 minutes and 22 seconds. How does does that show you that the book is real? Does it show you that, okay, this is a thing that's happening? It's not just vague information. It's on page 42. How does that hit you as a reader when you see those details?
Yeah, I can't say I've seen this a lot, Todd, but it feels very smart to me because a lot of the time these books have bullet points that promise the world. But then you start reading the book and you're like, but where is that in the book? And you're sort of left searching and it's really confusing. So I see this as a great way to provide evidence to back up your claims. And it's basically telling me the whole way through, it's saying, this is in the book, this is in the book, this is in the book. That's what's going through my head as I read it. So I like this one better than the other one that didn't have it. And I also just want to point out that the bullet points in descriptions is something that people don't do a lot. So we read before... Right. From the guy that wrote descriptions, he said that like it's got to look good. And when I see bullet points, I know for a fact that it makes it easier to read. And I can tell you a little hack. So I've been doing a lot of courses on Twitter, and every single one of them says that you need to have bullet points in a tweet. I'm not in every tweet, but in a lot of tweets, because it makes the digesting of that piece of content much easier.
Yep.
So if we take the Twitter thinking and apply that to books, obviously it makes sense because it changes up what you're seeing on the page. And your eyes are glued to bullet points because it's a psychological thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about Cal Newport's misstep here. Tell me, Tim, is this visually appealing? Is this aesthetically attractive?
I'm not reading that.
Yeah, no, you can't, right? You can't even, you couldn't do it if you wanted, because you have to go, okay, let me sit down, let me get into this paragraph. And maybe you can do it when this image is taken from Amazon. But you got to think, when you're in the Amazon world and Amazon's throwing what they want at you, and not only this, around here there would be, you know, obviously you got some, like, you got some ads over here, you got some buy this book over here, you got some other, you know, here's a similar book that you might like to read down here. And so you're competing with so much of what Amazon is trying to do that you can't possibly, there we go. There's my wonderfully accurate drawing of what Amazon does to the brain when you're trying to read something. If you can't condense something into visually aesthetic formatting and bullets, people are just gonna tune out. You can't read all of this with everything else going on. And that's why you wanna hit the specific information with particular line breaks and bullets, if you like. And then finally, the fourth step, a simple one. I don't even have to show you any examples. End with the words, get it now. This goes back to maybe the earliest principle of copywriting. And if you hear those words, call to action, if that means something to you, that's what's going on here. If we compare this with, again, we'll look at Cal's, deep work is an indispensable guide to anyone seeking focused success in a distracted world. Okay, cool. Like, maybe that's neat. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's helpful. But when we finish off with get it now, and we're going to that request and we're asking someone to buy, to me that cements everything on top of the book description.